WATD's political forum continues. Now, back to Studio B. Here's your moderator, Christine James.
And that's right, we are here in Studio B. Christine James, still your moderator. This is part two of our doubleheader tonight, political forums here on the South Shore, the height of election season. Now we're going to go to the 4th Plymouth District, and that is Marshfield and most of Scituate, except for one precinct. And the two candidates are here in the studio. We've got Jim Cantwell. He's a Democrat. He is the incumbent. Thank you for joining
Christine,
us, Jim.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. And Michael White, also from Marshfield. You're the Republican. You're the challenger. Even though it's radio, you both are very well-dressed. Nice blue shirts on tonight. Thank you very much.
And thank you for having me.
And thank you for Marshfield Community Television joining us, too,
yes.
Making this a multimedia effect. I just see the young man over there with a skull and crossbones on his shirt, but you do look friendly. What does that say?
Boston Harbor Cruises.
Okay, I wasn't sure if we had, like, a real pirate in the building here. Okay, talk like a pirate. Kevin Tachi, the host of Monday Night Talk, asking questions with me, along with WATD's own Charles Mathewson. And, of course, Amy, the lady with the construction paper over there. Green, red, and yellow. Yes, green is go, red is stop, yellow is you have 10 seconds. And
hurry
this
up.
Hurry up. There you go. That means you've got to stop talking right now. So what we will do is go with our same format again, opening and closing statements in between a round of questions from the press, including our famous lightning round. I like to see that look of horror when I say that word. Either yes or no, with no explanation, or one or two sentences tops. We want to give you folks a chance to ask each other a question, too. Hopefully we'll have some time for that, and then we'll go to closing statements. So, good evening. We just chose the names out of the official WATD Newsroom koozie. We're going to begin this forum with the two-minute opening statement from Michael White. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, ATD. Thank you, Jim. The reason why I am running is I feel that a lot of the issues that have troubled me and made me scream at the TV over the years, my wife finally said, why don't you do something about it? So some of the issues are that I think where Jim and I differ a lot is the fact that I feel that based on budgets at the state level, I think there needs to be cuts before we go back to the taxpayers and ask for more money. And I use the analogy that if you were blessed enough to have a job making $150,000 a year and then you lost that job and the best you could do was replace it with an $80,000 a year job, you would go to the supermarket differently. You would buy your car differently, your next car. You'd buy your clothes differently. Everything would change because you live within your means. You'd have to learn to live within your means. So that being said, why is, you know, the hardworking people of the Commonwealth held to that standard, but Beacon Hill can keep increasing the budget, and coming back to the taxpayer for fees and taxes and whatnot. So I really feel that we need to make some solid cuts when the revenues aren't there. Right now we have a $300 million deficit, so I think that more than likely there's going to be proposed taxes, and I'm opposed to taxing the citizens of the hardworking towns of Marshfield and Scituate anymore.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement, Michael White. Now let's go to our incumbent, and that's Jim Cantwell. Good evening, Jim.
Christine, good evening. Thank you, Christine. Thank you, Kevin, Charlie, and Amy, the whole WATD news team. Thanks for having us here tonight in Marshfield Community Television. I want to thank you for your intense focus on local news and your public service in educating all our voters. Michael, I want to thank you, by the way. Mike and I have been here for about an hour, or half an hour anyway, talking, just for you running a classy campaign. We all benefit when folks throw their hat into the ring and when we have a discussion of important issues. I know your wife, Carol Ann, would be listening here, and Corey and Connor would be listening, and I'm sure they're very, very proud of you. My wife, Jennifer, and my son, Christopher, are listening, and I want to make them proud as well. By the way, we're joined tonight. The fifth grade from Daniel Webster School is listening tonight as well. We just got to speak to them today. Being a state representative here is the greatest professional honor of my life. It's also the toughest job that I've ever had. I'm running for re-election because I care passionately about the future of the South Shore, and I know that there's so much still to do. I've demonstrated this passion by acting in a positive fashion with others as a team. Nothing happens by yourself, but to make a difference in our collective quality of life. Here are just a few examples of what we've done as a team in the South Shore. Fighting exorbitant flood insurance rates and inaccurate maps. Securing coastal adaptation funding for seawalls and the like. Job creation and economic development. Route 139 out front and bringing a college here to Marshfield. combating the opiate crisis, fighting for our beleaguered seafood industry, and securing funds for Greenbush as well as God for Service. Those are just some examples, but there's so much more work that I've done together with others as your state representative. To learn more and to give me some feedback, please visit my website, www.jimcantwell.com, or call me on my cell, 781-837-1960. Again, my name is Jim Cantwell, and I'd be honored to earn your vote and your support for state representative.
Thank you very much. That was Jim Cantwell. He's the incumbent and a Democrat, hoping for re-election. And now we're going to go to questions. Let's begin for questions with Kevin Tonchi. Questions for the candidates and who they're directed
at. My first question is for you, Mike. I see that you've served on a variety of various nonprofit boards, but have you ever been appointed or elected to serve on a municipal board or commission? Now, your answer will trigger the next question I ask. So, have you?
Yes, I have. I was voted in on a couple of nonprofit boards.
Right, but I'm saying, have you been election. Selectman, school committee,
finance committee? Yes and no. I was on a condominium association board of trustees, so there was finance.
Was it a municipal board, though, is what I'm saying, that served the town?
No, no municipal
taxpayers. Okay. Good. All right. Well, that triggers my next question. Why wouldn't you seek that experience before running for state rep first? Why not serve as a selectman or school committee or serve on a finance committee before taking that step to be state representative?
Because Beacon's Hill is full of people who have done that, and I think that's part of the problem, is career politicians don't benefit small business and don't benefit the middle class and the taxpayers. Because that's, with our $300 million deficit right now, they're going to go back after the people that are working the hardest. There's talk of a mileage tax, there's talk of new tolls. That's not acceptable for the people that have been working hard in Massachusetts and are struggling to get by.
But to get a better understanding as to what your district would need, what the municipalities would need, how you could best serve them, wouldn't you think that you'd want to get a better understanding of how the system works as far as beyond town meeting, as to how things work on those levels first before graduating up to be a state rep?
Well, that would be of opinion that you can't read and research and learn about that. So I think that, you know, yeah, you can do it through experience, but you can also learn. You can talk to people. I've talked to some very good people and gotten a lot of good advice. Bob Hedlund, the mayor of Weymouth, our former senator. Patrick O'Connor, the current senator. Spoke with quite a few different people that are behind the scenes in political, the actual legislative aides and... That is something that you can learn. You can learn on the job as well, too, I think. If you got to remember, there's 160. It's not like I wield that much power. They're outnumbered, 126 to 34.
But you have 2 years. I mean, it's, you know, it's the steep learning curve. But I get what you're saying, and thank you for your answer. I guess I would turn to you, Jim. So would you technically be a career politician? And do you feel that your experience serving on various boards in Marshfield have helped you as a state representative?
Certainly does. And I know there are different terms that folks use that they'd be concerned about people's experience. Listen, I got my start helping to preserve the Daniel Webster Estate in Marshfield when I was a teenager. And it was the skills that I learned back then about how one works with other community leaders. That, by the way, is a home. Mike and I were talking before, but a home that would have been torn down would have had 300 condominiums. But I learned from other people how you advocate and you go around and you hand out leaflets and you talk to people of why it's important. And that was difficult because that was an affordable housing complex being proposed that we had to defeat. But I will tell you, it is very important to have experience at the State House to be able to help save things that are important and precious to us. Well, the Talking Information Center, another thing Mike and I talked about downstairs, Talking Information Center, when it was imperiled and was going to be eliminated, their funding, folks, Ron Bersani came to me and said, Jim, you know, can you help us? And it was the fact that I had many years of experience and relationships that we knew how to be able to work through the budget process. We knew how to bring others in who knew of the great benefits that are done. And I'm sure we can talk about that again later.
I guess my follow-up would be is do you parlay that experience that there is a room that you might seek to run for Plymouth County District Attorney, or even for Congress? Is there a chance that as this gentleman's talking about career politicians, that you're looking to maybe climb the ladder and maybe be a DA or be a congressman?
I think, you know, I would tell you right now, I'm running for office solely to be the state representative, and I would guarantee people I will be the state representative for the next 2 years, period. And who knows what happens in the future? I have a child who is going to be going into college in the future. My promise to my son and to my wife was I'm going to be here and at home so that I could be able to provide, not only do a great job as a state representative, but to be home for things that are important as well. So
are you ruling out that you will not run for district attorney?
Now, hold on. You can ask him that question later. And not to take Christine's job, but I was actually going to say so you're going
to
answer the question? Are you considering it, or are you just strictly? Could you confirm or deny the rumor?
Oh, there's so many rumors. The people have me running.
Just for that rumor, Jim.
No, I will tell you, I am running for state representative. That's the sole thing I'm running for. That's what I'm on the ballot for, and I will serve my term for the next 2 years.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to Charles Mathewson. Questions for the candidates.
This is a coastal community. It's a coastal district. Do you each accept the reality of climate change, Jim?
Absolutely. Climate change is happening. In fact, we have a...
Yes or no, Mike?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Okay. Then, in that case, how would you help coastal communities cope with sea level rise as a legislator when it's not a concern for Smitty Pignatelli? Am I pronouncing that right?
Pignatelli? Pignatelli, yep.
Yeah.
A difference is he's a representative from far inland. He's out in Lenox.
Very good. So, that was a trick question for you, Jim.
Oh, was it? Oh, I'm sorry.
Just to see if you know.
I do. He's a very good guy. So for the issues, first of all, climate change is happening, Charlie. People want to debate what's causing it. I don't care. You know, my job is to try to get out. We know that there's one, it's a triple threat of climate change, more frequent storms. My joke is I've been a rep for 8 years. We've had 6 major storms. It's not my fault, but that we're working.
Yes, it is. Just kidding, sir.
And we have very old infrastructure. So my job, and Mike and I are saying, our job is to fight to make sure that we are able to, one, have resources for coastal infrastructure, things like seawalls that we may talk about later, where we've had $30 million from legislation I wrote. And another piece of legislation that I helped shepherd through, another $100 million for that kind of work. It also means talking about other ways that we can try to generate electricity, so we can try to get away from some of the things that are causing climate change. And one of the things I'm very excited about, not only green technology that we've been bringing, Scituate, by the way, 100% of its energy, municipal energy, is provided by a wind turbine and by a solar array. I'm trying to do work also for water power. It's called hydrokinetic power.
Mike, how would you deal with other legislators to help the coastal problem in this district?
Well, you asked if I believed in the climate change. I do, but I don't think we need science with a gun to our head either for special interests to try and make money off it. So I think there's a balance there that we need to hit. As far as our coastal communities in securing funds, we need to be a united front, so you need to be working with your congressman, United States congressman, as well as your state senator, as well as United States senator. I honestly feel that if they had jumped in on these maps a little bit earlier than they did, we would have time possibly to have a third study. And we've already seen the contrast between the first study and the second study. The idea that FEMA has been broke for a long time is well documented. The Clinton administration raided FEMA and Social Security in order to balance the budget as well as the military. So after that, you had Katrina, you had your mudslides, you had your fires, you had Hurricane Sandy. You had quite a bit of things going. So, I mean, where was that money going to come from? So and it's not Jim's fault. It's everybody that's on a coastal community, as well as Keating and all the other people. They should have been in.
Thank you.
Ahead of that.
You're out of time. Thank you very much. Any follow-up questions, Charlie?
No.
Okay. I just, since you brought up Talking Information Center, just want to, in the sake of, you know, complete fairness here, I am the president of the board of TIC this year and a very strong advocate of Talking Information Center. And I'm hoping, and I'll put you on the spot here, but I'm going to ask you another question, too. If we can continue to count on your support, Jim Cantwell, if you're reelected, because we've got money through the end of this fiscal year, and no guarantee after that. And it's a wonderful service for people. It's a radio reading service, not only for the blind and print disabled, for anyone with disabilities. And it is generally acknowledged to be the best radio reading service in the country.
Absolutely. So the quick answer is yes. And the longer answer, for those who are listening who may not know what TIC does, over 30 years of service, has helped thousands of people who are visually impaired. If people are listening now, the administration came forward and the Commissioner for the Blind, the gentleman Paul Sanger, wanted to eliminate the funding. And I'm on Ways and Means. One of the things we do by relationships is I had other members of Ways and Means who would reach out to their constituents who were served. So when Paul Sanger came forward at one of our hearings, he was able to hear from people all around this state. It wasn't just Marshfield. This is people all throughout the state who were served. We were able to broker a compromise. We actually increased the funding, as you would know, from the year when it was going to be cut. We've moved it over now to be, instead of in the Commission for the Blind, since many of the people who were served aren't blind, they're visually impaired. So we've moved it over to be in Elder Affairs, where we believe that'll be a safer haven for funds. But you have my guarantee, this is one of the items that we will continue to fight for. And I will tell you, bipartisan support for this funding, bipartisan support for this service, and we're thrilled to have it stay here in Marshall.
Thank you very much. And Michael, I know, you know, Jim may have an unfair advantage here because he's been involved with this for a long time, but you probably know Ron Bersanti and all the good things he did, you know, mm-hmm. the way he put this together. Ron is retired now, and we're just trying to keep this legacy going. We have heard from so many people. This is their lifeline, and I hope it's not under my watch that we lose the funding, so I'm hoping I can count on your support.
You would have my support 100%. I think it's a tremendous service to the community.
Okay. So. Appreciate that.
That's save that sound bite.
Absolutely. Kevin Tachi. Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, it is the pick your poison part of the forum.
We're both. One second.
Yeah, take a drink, Jim. Mm-hmm. You're going to need it. Mm-hmm. We'll start with you, Jim. Two particular subjects that you'll be able to choose from.
Sure.
You pick one of them.
Okay.
Is either taxes or education.
Education.
You don't want to go with taxes, huh?
Okay. No, we're doing both.
No. You only get one. What have you done, or what efforts have you led to increase educational needs in your districts, whether it's Chapter 70 money for regional schools or the creation of higher ed programs? Be specific.
Sure. I can tell you specifically that the best thing I could tell you about is we identified early in my tenure here, going around meeting with business leaders, and we heard from folks who run some of our marinas, and they said, we cannot find qualified people to work at our marinas, hundreds of jobs. So we do what we do sometimes in government. I made sure to get a small amount of funding to have the Division of Labor study. Why is it that we're not filling so many jobs? We learned that we need to have this kind of trade and this kind of workforce development. So the next step was meeting with folks. Charlie Wall is the president for Massasoit. Met with him and discussed that we would love to have a college here that would address that for marine sciences, for boat repair, engine repair. Because of the contacts I have working here for a long time, met with the Baraki family that owns property here, where we secured a guarantee from them. They'd have to speak for themselves, but they were donating property so we could bring a college here to town. That has slowed a little bit. So now since we knew people from the schools, we've had courses offered right at Marshfield High School. We can have dual enrollment for high school students and for others in the community to learn about higher education and learn those skills.
Thank you. That was Jim Cantwell.
Same for you. You get to pick either taxes or education.
Let's stay on education.
Okay.
Okay.
How can the state better fund education without raising taxes or cutting more programs? Give your plan.
Okay. Well, I think that a lot of the trades would really encourage more of a vocational technical school because of the simple fact that they're hurting for apprentices. Even the unions are hurting for apprentices. So I think we could maybe lean on business a little bit to help out in that aspect. And that would be another a different revenue source that the public schools have not seen before. I've talked to a lot of people. That's what I do for a living. I do employment. And I've talked to a lot of people that said, geez, if there was only a school that could take a dishwasher to a line cook, if there was only a school that could take a truck driver to a logistics manager.
Well, there is a school. It's called the School of Hard Knocks. But
yes, I understand. But what they need that. They don't have the time to give them the hard knocks on their dime. So I think that if we reached out to some of the unions, some of the independent businesses mm-hmm. that are hurting for welders and carpenters and whatnot, I think we could actually get some revenue coming in on that. And I think trades are just as important as a bachelor's degree.
What's your thoughts on the funding mechanism in order to be able to give Chapter 70 monies to different communities and school districts? Do you think that needs to be reworked? What do you know about the funding formula and its fairness to how it distributes money to communities around the Commonwealth?
In how it pertains to separating Scituate and Marshfield, I'm knowledgeable. As how it pertains to the rest of the Commonwealth, I'm not really sure. And that's something I would look into. I'm not the type of person to try and wing an answer. I'll tell you that I would look into it. I think that right now we need to utilize every dollar we can, but on the same hand, we need to hold people more accountable. I think teaching to pass a test has hurt our education system, so I would want to look at that in regards to eliminating Common Core, because we led as a nation education for centuries and decades. And what is the common denominator since we've started falling behind the rest of the world is teaching to pass a test. I have temps that I put in offices that don't even know how to address an envelope. People don't know how to change a tire. People don't know how to balance a checkbook. They don't know how to write a resume. So we need to teach some life skills as well, not just teach these kids to pass a test.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Question, Charles Mathewson, for the candidates.
Mike, you've talked, excuse me, but in some generalities about Common Core and education and the former Clinton administration, et cetera. But specifically, how has Jim Cantwell failed this district?
He's done a lot of good things. Let me start with that. There's been a lot of good things as Jim's done. The opioid piece, I think he's done a very good job on. Jim is definitely solid on the education piece. However, to follow the speaker 99.4% of the time for a voting record is not a sign of leadership. That's a sign of following. And I'm not the type of guy to follow somebody just because I think that there could be consequences. So I think that has failed us. He has not voted for any tax decreases. He's voted for tax increases. I think that has failed us. But that's the difference between the two of us, and that's what we were talking about that before we came in here. I believe in small business development in order to create more jobs, which create more taxed individuals, which turns out to be funding for infrastructure, schools, seniors, public services, where Jim's philosophy is to go back to the taxpayer and get more money from the taxpayer.
Jim, how do you respond?
Respectfully, I'd say that's not accurate. I have, and actually it's been demonstrated from one of our Boston papers, I had the 12th most independent voting record at the State House. I voted against an entire supplemental budget a few years ago that was funding probation that I thought there were some concerns with. I voted against a tech tax. That was something that the speaker was promoting and many unions were promoting. I voted to have photos on EBT cards. That was something the speaker was very much against at the time. I voted against an original plan for health insurance that was going to hurt retirees. Most recently, there was a vote about indexing the minimum wage. I voted against that. However, what I would tell you, what you do when you want to have a manner to express your differences, some of these issues, in fact, leadership came around and adopted some of the thoughts that myself and Tom Colter and Josh Cutler all felt were not appropriate. So part of leadership is stating your case, and stating your case very strongly. The other is to communicate with leadership why your position is what it is and hope that you'll be able to win them over to your side. So on that sole issue, on the speaker issue, I don't know if there was a second part to your question.
No, that's it.
Can I jump in there?
Absolutely.
Jim, you mentioned,
I know what you're going to say, the tech tax.
Mr. Armstrong told me that you voted for the tech tax.
Well, you voted for the Trojan horse that was the transportation bill. Mm-hmm. That was, what, a $600 million transportation bill that mm-hmm. had a number of taxes in it, which was the automatic gas tax, the mm-hmm. tech tax, there were a couple mm-hmm. other taxes in it. You initially voted for that, and then when House Democrats realized that the industry was calling up and going, hey, there's an issue here. I believe the Democrats go, whoa, hey, maybe we're doing something wrong here. And there was an immediate call by the Democrats to say, hey, we need to repeal this and take this off the books, then you voted for that.
No, quite the reverse, Kevin. Check just respectfully check your facts. I voted against the tech tax at the very beginning.
You vote? Well, hold on. Did you vote for the transportation bill that was part of that that complete package?
That was a second vote, but you're right, and this is a good learning exercise, because in government, what you have when something can come forward, mm-hmm. right, there would be a proposal and we'd say, look, that doesn't make sense. We knew that there needed to be some revenue for transportation.
Sure.
Absolutely so. I thought the tech tax was a terrible idea. Voted against that. There are other aspects that I voted against. But we also said what I thought made more sense is you go right now for the gas tax, for instance. We knew the gas tax hadn't been increased for 21 years. We knew that it should go up. There should be an amount that we said people, if it was 5 cents, people weren't going to care for a nickel. There are certain aspects that we advocated for, and I said, I believe this should be new revenue, but it shouldn't be a tech tax for transportation. So you're right. I voted against that. My side lost. So then what do? You have a bill that comes forward, comes before the Senate or the House, and says, here is the bill that's going to be put forward to have revenue for your state. And part of how people should learn, this is not a Trump world or other world. You don't get everything that you want.
I do recall it differently, though. I recall that it was transportation that was voted on, and then when it was implemented, and when it was saw that there was an issue, because I reported on it, when mm-hmm. there was an issue that was saw, all of a sudden the Democrats said, oh, let's put forth an effort to repeal it, and then it was voted to vote down the tech tax.
And
but everything was voted, and that was also, again, a part of the automatic gas tax that mm-hmm. I believe that you voted for as well.
Yeah,
correct.
But that's why, I want to make sure to clear the record, though, Kevin, okay. because your memory is a little bit different. is that the truth?
Okay.
Yeah, and the truth of the factor was, is that some of these things get to be proposed.
Okay.
And if they're not good ideas, I have no problem standing up and saying, look, EBT cards, we should have a photo on them. My position lost. But then it came around, and the speaker and others said that's a good idea. The tech tax, I voted against that at the very beginning. Frankly, I didn't understand it. And I said, okay. I can't vote. And on taxes, you should know, in the time that I have been a state rep, not only have we voted against one of the things I mentioned before about indexing.
Sorry.
Okay. No, please.
If you want, again, if you're at your final 2 minutes, if you feel that there's not a question they got to answer fully, you can put that in that context.
And I don't have that in front of me. So Jim could be correct, but I know how I remember how it all unfolded. So let's leave it at that. Let's move on to the next question.
I think, Mike, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah, I talked to a gentleman, the Armstrong Brothers is a band locally on the South Shore, and one of the Armstrong Brothers had a software company, and he said he met with you and asked you how you're going to vote, and he said you did vote for the tech tax, and he ended up having to lay off people over it.
And I know Peter very well for both of the brothers, and that was the eventual. What he's talking about is an eventual bill that came forward. But again, he would tell you, and I would think he'd tell you, he met with me on the Kennedy vote, he met with the other votes, always happened to meet with folks. And the memory, I can tell you that the Coulter, Cantwell, Cutler vote, all three of us voted against the tech tax. And then it got put into a final bill.
I don't think he cares what the bill is. I think that he cares that he had to lay off people and shut down his business.
The truth is...
You'll have a chance to ask each other questions back and forth. Mm. Anything else you wanted to ask about that particular issue?
Nope. I've left it to my partner here. Ask the follow-up, because I'm getting to know him too well.
Okay. All right, gentlemen, I have a question for you.
Uh-oh.
No, let's just break it down to the most basic thing. What difference is it going to make to the average voter in the district if they elect you? Let's go with you, Michael White. What difference
Governor Baker will have a voice up at Beacon Hill. Right now, he's outnumbered. He doesn't even have the power to veto anything as a governor. He's outnumbered 40-6. At the Senate, and he's outnumbered 126-34. If you think Governor Baker's doing a good job and you want to see his best of his ability, you need to get more people up there. We need two voices at the table. And we also, quite frankly, need a voice of business.
Okay. Same question you, Jim Kent. What difference is it going to make if the average voter votes for you?
I think the average voter, if people have seen the kind of work and the things that I've brought to the table for being here, the average voter will say, here's a person, if we look at this as a job interview, they'll say, here's a person who's made sure on business, I get it. I run a business. I employ 14 people. If you are a business person, look for why the most recent four people who have been the Chamber of Commerce presidents from Marshfield have endorsed me. Don't just ask my look in situ why they endorsed me. Look to the South Shore Chamber of Commerce, who is the one representative, the only political person who they've invited twice to go to D.C. with them when they're trying to advocate for the needs for business. I'm that person. So on that issue, if you want to look on issues that relate to education, Josh Cutler led this, but another thing that I joined with him to increase education funding for our area. If you want to try to look for the environment, look for work that I've done on things, everything that could be coastal infrastructure, everything that could work for what our needs are for flood insurance, my goodness. If you want to talk about what my two little towns, Scituate and Marshfield, have done, we changed the course of history and pushed back against onerous flood insurance maps.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mr. Tachi.
Yeah.
Does this involve tattoos?
No, it doesn't.
We'll take our shirts off.
That's the next question. Go easy.
One
of the things we haven't brought up, and that is the opioid and heroin epidemic.
Sure.
It's one of the top things that we've talked about during all the forums that we've had here on 95.9 WATD. What needs to be done to further advance treatment or education on the issue, and what have you been doing up there at the State House to try to lead the effort?
Sure. Perfect question. First, what have I done, and then who can you talk to verify things? First of all, in the state, there is so much that we have done to try to start with treatment and long-term recovery, things I'm very proud of. As WATD has covered that I was very proud to win funding for a drug court in the Hingham District Court that helps people, envelope them with services if they are in addiction. I got funding for the first hospital in the state to have recovery coaches, South Shore Hospital. We worked hard on the prescription drug monitoring program. As people may know, in Marshfield, my wife and I founded Marshfield Facts to follow the great work of Scituate Facts, Anne-Marie Galvin of Scituate and others. It's great work happening there for treatment and recovery. But what we have to do, Kevin, only 3% of funding right now in the area of substance abuse prevention, only 3% actually goes to prevention. All of it goes downstream for treatment, for recovery, and the like. We need to move upstream. There's a bill that I wrote with the former Secretary for Health and Welfare at the State House, Cheryl Bartlett. It's called the Promote Prevent Bill. I'd like to talk about it further, but what it does is it looks for ways that we can prevent people from abusing substances in the first place.
Thank you.
What's your knowledge on this epidemic, and what are the things that you'd like to do to be a leader up at the State House to try to get the conversation moving forward beyond what people are already doing at this particular time, finding beds and treatment and education?
Okay. Unfortunately, it's very near and dear to me. I lost a brother to addiction. I have a niece that is in the family now due to addiction because her mother was a heroin addict. And my sister-in-law, it was their niece.
It touches everybody.
That adopted this because the mother just couldn't get herself clean. She picked heroin over the baby. The issue that it boils down to really is a lot of the times it ties back into mental health and people self-medicate. So we need to address the mental health issues. And I really believe that. You know, and again, if I threw a punch at Bill Clinton, I'm going to throw a punch at Ronald Reagan and George Bush right now, because they're the ones who shut down the state hospitals back in their administration. Mental health is really a big issue in the Commonwealth right now, as well as the whole country. So that's one step. I think we really need to hold the insurance companies accountable for offering a treatment that works. Right now, 3 months, 90 days for a long-term opioid is not enough. It's almost like trying to treat a 27-inch wound with 3 stitches and no antibiotic.
Thank you very much. That was Michael White. Okay. Follow-up questions?
Could we both jump back on that, if you wouldn't mind, just on the issues?
Ask the moderator.
30 seconds, Jim Cantwell.
Just because it's so important. Another thing that Mike and I talked off air before, we have funded a program called Interface, and I know ATD will put it on the website, but if someone out there does have a behavioral health and mental health problem in Marshfield, Scituate, 9 other towns, it is free. We have a service where people can call in. We can hook them up with different people who are experts that can try to help get them for counseling and into treatment. I'll make sure we'll provide that to WATD, and people can listen, and we'll put it on this tape.
Okay, I know that you want another 30 seconds,
sure,
Michael.
Sure, thank you. And Jim has done a great job. I'm not, saying that because we're trying to have some nicety here. He has done a great job. And most of what I've learned has been from people that Jim's interacted with and Jim himself. So outside of having a personal tie to it. The other piece I was going to talk about was the fact that we in the law enforcement, I think we need to be stricter on people that are caught with fentanyl and people that are caught with heroin, because right now the sentences aren't strict enough. I mean, these people are accomplices of murder, because there's so many overdoses, and we need to be strict.
Okay. Charlie?
Okay. Now I have a follow-up. When you say accomplices to murder, you mean people who are dealing in fentanyl?
Correct.
Not the people who are victims of it?
The people that are dealing it, in unfortunately, someone with an addiction is going to use that, and it's a fatal result.
Okay. Changing subjects. Affordable housing. The consensus seems to be that 40B benefits developers and burdens communities. Is it time to scrap it and start over? Mike?
No, I don't think we need to scrap it. I think that because of the infrastructure of Marshfield, though, with more apartment buildings in some of our surrounding towns, I think we have our share of 40B. And I don't know what the numbers are, but one of the things I want to look into is per capita, how much more 40B housing we have than Scituate, than Kingston, than Duxbury. And I think the Commonwealth needs to turn to those states and ask, you know, towns, I should say, to turn to them and ask, you know, 40B should be initiated and they should expand theirs before Marshfield expands theirs again.
Here's a place where we disagree. We should scrap 40B. It doesn't work. You know, when these, my experience, I mentioned the Daniel Webster Estate, that was a 40B that we were able to defeat. There was another one proposed for Tilden Road here in Marshall we were able to fight. There's another one in Scituate right now. The problem is if we need more friendly manners of encouraging developers. The idea is that we would say to a developer, you can have higher density of units. In return, you have to make more of them affordable. What typically happens, and right now the regulations say, if a developer comes in and says, I want 300 units, and the local zoning board reduces that number by anything more than 5%, that is what's called per se unaffordable, and they can overturn the local zoning board's decision. They can go around all local zoning for height restrictions, for setbacks, and the like. We absolutely need to change 40B, because what's happening is they get tied up in lawsuits, and we're not getting the housing that we want. So it is something we have to spend a lot of time to try to fix.
Okay, any follow-ups?
Nope.
That? All right, let's go to our lightning round questions. Again, this is where the answers are either yes or no, or one or two sentences tops. The reporter will ask you what they want. Mr. Tachi, your lightning round question.
What best describes you? It's multiple choice. A, organized and punctual. B, somewhat organized and sort of punctual. Or C, a mess and constantly runs late. Jim?
I'd be B. B.
I'd be B.
Okay. Two Bs. Mr. Mathewson.
Okay, neither of you had opposition in the primary, so we haven't asked you these questions.
I oppose Mr. Blank. He was a tough opponent.
Yeah. His first name wasn't Mel, though. Where do you stand on the four ballot questions? Question one would allow Gaming Commission to issue additional slots next to Suffolk Downs. Mike, yes or no?
No.
No.
Question two would authorize the approval of up to 12 new charter schools. Mike, yes or no?
As it's written now, no.
No.
Question three would prohibit certain methods of farm animal containment. Mike, yes or no?
No.
It's a tougher issue, but I'm also a no.
Question four would legalize recreational marijuana for individuals at least 21 years old. Mike?
Absolutely not.
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, what should the state income tax be? Jim Cantwell.
Now, what's the rate right now? It's 5.1.
No, what should the state income tax be?
The state income tax, it's 5.1% now. It should stay there until our economic indicators are hit, and
okay.
Then it could be...
All right, Michael White, what should the state income tax be?
The state income tax should be, ballot question number four in the year 2000, 67% of the Commonwealth voted to roll it back to 5%. Out of respect to the citizens of Massachusetts, it should be 5%.
These are tough to do lightning round, aren't they? To be succinct and to the point. Okay, this is why I love to ask these.
Can't let that one go.
Kevin Touching.
Going with multiple choice again. The tax-free weekends that we used to enjoy until last year. It's multiple choice. A, benefits everybody. B, benefits the consumer. C, benefits the big box stores. C, hurts the state. Mike.
I would say benefits everybody.
Jim.
Definitely benefits a consumer.
Okay. And one more lightning round question, Charlie.
But I have so many more. Oh, okay. Think of the presidential candidates who did not make it past the primaries. Okay, have that in mind?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Everyone but Clinton and Trump. Of those, who would you have preferred, Mike?
Rand Paul.
Jim?
I'd say Bill Weld, but he has made it through. Of the Democrats, there's only one other Democrat, which would be Bernie Sanders.
Okay. Now, we're going to give you folks a chance to ask each other a question here. Jim, do you have a question for Michael White?
No, I really don't. I mean, Michael and I we have so many mutual friends and the like. I said, Michael, if I am fortunate enough to get reelected, would you work with me on some of these issues like suicide prevention and substance abuse prevention?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So, Michael, do you have a question for Jim Cantwell?
If I'm fortunate enough to be elected, I'm going to ask you the same. Would you help me with some of what Mr. Taccio said? You don't want to be learning on the job, so I would turn to you for some advice.
Absolutely.
Okay. You'd be his aide.
Sure.
Okay. Any other questions for each other? We have a minute here.
You know your way around the building.
It takes a while. Okay. Takes a while.
If not, let's go to closing statements, and we're going to reverse the order that we had at the beginning. So we'll begin with Jim Cantwell, then go to Michael White.
Really, in closing, I want to thank again, Christine, to thank you, Kevin, and Charlie. I really appreciated the opportunity to discuss issues here tonight. It's difficult because we can't always get things across. So please, as you're watching, if there's something we didn't discuss, please do call me on my phone, 781-837-1960, or on my website, www.jimcantwell.com. I will say, again, running for re-election, my name is Jim Cantwell. I would appreciate your consideration for your vote. I care passionately about the future here of the South Shore, where I've lived my entire life. I believe that together we've made a huge difference on issues that we talked about tonight, to a degree, flood insurance, coastal adaptation, job creation, combating the opiate crisis. We didn't talk about the seafood industry. We'll talk about that another day. And we didn't get to talk about Greenbush or Gatra. But there's so many issues that are really exciting to work on. I look forward to working with you in the next 2 years if I'm fortunate enough to be elected. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Jim Cantwell. Now let's go to Michael White, your closing statement for our listeners.
Okay. I'd be remiss if I didn't offer a get well soon, honey, to my wife who had surgery this morning. So she is on the mend, and hopefully she'll be well. A lot of people have come up to me and said, you have a business, and are you going to have the time to do it? Why do you want to do it? I want to do it because of the simple fact that we have a unbelievable area here. We don't call it the Irish Riviera down here for nothing. This is a great area, and I really would love to see the children that we raise, Jim's kids and my kids, be able to stay and afford to stay in this area. And right now, the way things are going, you know, it's too expensive for them to stay. They're leaving the state. They used to be in a family of five that four would stick around after 10 years upon graduating. That number's dropped to two. So we need to bring that number back up. And I think if I'm up there, I'm going to simply be responsible with your money. And it's not to say that every politician's irresponsible. I just think we need more on the side of business and generating business. Why doesn't the state have a site to help small business? Makes sense, right? Small business which generates jobs, which generates taxes. Just little things like that are outside the box. And I know I'm not going to win many points with the current state reps up there, but is it a full-time job? Do we need 160? We need to think about these things and see if we can make some savings for the taxpayer.
Thank you very much. That was Michael White. And this is the race for the 4th Plymouth District, Marshfield, and all of Scituate, except for one precinct. This entire forum will be up on our website. And, of course, we've got the folks here from Marshfield Community Television. I know you'll be running it a number of times before Election Day, which is Tuesday, November 8th. And, of course, this year, the first year, we've got early voting.
Know,
you can get out there
today.
Now, starting today, and get out there and vote, which is pretty exciting. Avoid the long lines. Get out there and vote. And, of course, WATD will have reporters out on election night covering all these races, calling in the numbers, talking with the candidates. We'll have our own group in here, my political posse. We'll be going through the numbers. We'll be calling the races, and it's an exciting night. It's a lot of fun, and we hope you will join us. Meanwhile, gentlemen, thank you very much. Thank you for a very civilized,
Christian,
nice debate tonight. We appreciate that. Remember, I tell you this each time, and I mean it with every fiber of my being, if you don't vote, you don't have a voice. So please get out there and vote. I'm Christine James. We've got like a minute or two left. Anything you want to say, Kevin Taccio or Charles?
No, I thought you were going to stumble and say November 35th.
But
you caught yourself. And again, we thank all the candidates who participated. And don't forget, We have one more week of political forums next Monday night, same time, right around 6:15. We'll tease you with who the individuals are going to be in front of the microphones discussing the issues. That's what we do here, and then we try to make sure we put it up on the website. Don't forget, Jim, we have listeners who are listening to this forum. And so be sure to check out the website, get informed, and know what's going on when it comes to the issues when you go in to vote on November 8th. So stay tuned for that.
Can we make a pitch? You're running up. Mike and I, something we both agreed to and that we've been doing, is saying how important that we were introducing one another to our different sign holders. We were making sure that people would see, oh, they're giving me the sign. So we want people to see this is how an election should be run. This is how campaigns should be run.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Until next week at 6:15, have yourself a great evening.